the relationship of Kenya to her mother is that it wasn't really her mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that from the start?
Ooh, I wish you hadn't asked me that. I didn't. And I really have most things down before I start. But like I said earlier, I really put Kenya in just as I was starting the book because I thought, oh, wow, you know, it would be so bad if your mother gave you away but kept another kid. And then I thought, well, what if you took it one step forward? Because I kept turning on its head the notion of who are your people, who are your family. And so I did decide halfway through that, in fact, Kenya wasn't her daughter.
And this is something that Tip and Teddy will never know.
I love that, too.
Really?
I love the idea of the reader ending a book knowing something that none of the characters would know. And that was definitely something I wanted to pull off in a book.
And the idea of having that epilogue that takes place 5 years later.
Yes.
Is it 5 years later?
Yeah, it is. About five or six, something like that.
Was that always implicit in the story, you think?
Yes, that
really?
Was. Definitely. Now, I knew that in this very strange way, Teddy and Tip would fulfill Doyle's dreams at the moment that Doyle stopped having those dreams for them. And so it becomes kind of, you know, this cruel little bit of irony for them. And I knew that that's where it was going. I didn't know that it would end exactly at Tip's graduation, but that was the note I wanted to hit at the end.
You also knew that Tennessee would die.
Yeah, I did.
That was always there.
I did. Again, when I was putting the book together for a long time, I thought that Tennessee would wind up to really be the daughter that Doyle always wanted, because she is the one character who absorbs the political education. And so I liked the idea of her living. You know, again, this is long before I ever started writing, and being the one who would run for public office. That was my original thought, that she would be the political Doyle who would rise up. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought that, in fact, Kenya is the one who is the great hope of the family.
And Kenya, you know, in terms of talking about nature versus nurture, it's kind of interesting. You have these two boys growing up in elevated circumstances and Kenya in poverty, yet it seems that she can really work in their circles virtually without stopping.
She's a smart girl. She's a very smart girl. And I think it's a way of kind of shaking up our ideas about class, because she's an intuitive and compassionate kid, and she can read them. You know, she's smart. She can see what their problems and their limitations are, not to mention the fact she's been tailing them her whole life. And so many of the things that they have been offered and have passed at, she's like eating the scraps off their table. She's been eating the intellectual scraps that they're not interested and taking all that in.
And you knew all along, I guess, from the opening segment, who would get the statue that she would.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But I have to say, I loved that. I loved that moment where she's the daughter. You know, there's something in the whole Joe Kennedy thing that figures into this, which is everything that I read about that family said that, in fact, Eunice was the great political brain in the family, and had they come up at another time, she would have been the president. But that Joe Kennedy's great line is, if one of the girls was sitting at the table and one of the boys would come in, he would say, "Stand up and give your brother a chair." And so, to me, to have Kenya rise at the end and really take the great prize of the matriarchy was the answer to Eunice Kennedy not getting to be president. How's that for obscure?